This morning we're going to talk about fools. It's a topic that makes me a little bit edgy. Maybe it makes you a little edgy. I'm thinking back to my own personal history. I was maybe about 10 years old. I have a brother who's a couple years older than I am, and we were out sliding. It's wintertime. And as he sometimes did, he would wait partway down the hill, and he would jump on my back as I was going down the hill, and sometimes knock me off my sled, and sometimes, in this case, the sled went way down the hill by itself, and I said, "You fool!" To which he immediately said, "You're going to go to hell. Jesus said so. Jesus said so." And when you're 10 years old, you think, "What did I just do?" Well, I had this vague memory, and now I know better, of course. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a pretty clear warning. You don't throw around that word, that title, lightly. So why talk about it this morning if it's edgy? Because God's Word does, especially in the book of Proverbs. And because Proverbs is probably my favorite Old Testament book, we're going to be looking at Proverbs today and the next three Sundays as well. Today in particular, we're looking at the opening section, about 8 or 9 chapters before the actual Proverbs really start. Here's some kind of teaching. It has something to say about fools and the children of God. Now, if you're looking for maximum benefit, or let's say you've had a little downtime in your own devotional life, let me give you my encouragement. You know how many chapters there are in Proverbs? 31. You know how many chapters there are in lots of months, or how many days in lots of months? 31. So you can read a chapter a day, and if you started now by early August, you'd be a wiser person for it. So that's my encouragement. How do you approach a book like Proverbs? Well, here's the tack I'm taking. We're going to start by looking at some of the main characters in this book. If you were to read through especially these opening chapters, the first person you'd really meet is the father. And because Solomon had a big role in writing this, you'd probably think of Solomon talking to maybe some of the princes of Israel, or maybe one of the sages talking to young men. But for us, I think the best way to listen to the voice of the father is to listen for the voice of God speaking to us, talking to us about life. The father has a cohort in these opening chapters. Wisdom, who often speaks in a female voice, Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom has the same call over and over. Come and live life. Live a life that has God at the center. Live a life that has a moral compass. Live a life that has some meaning and purpose to it. Because it's based on an understanding of God and His way to live. There's a foil, an opposite to Lady Wisdom, and that would be Madam Folly. Folly often speaks in Proverbs and speaks in a female voice again. Madam Folly is a seductress. And she's a liar. She's a deceiver. Because she continues to make this promise in the book. Oh, you can live life any way you want. You can live a life that's selfish. You can live a life that's all about your own pleasure. You can live a life that doesn't care anything for anyone else. And there's no harm in that. Just live for you. That's the voice of Madam Folly. Then we meet a bunch of other characters. There's Mr. Simple. The simpleton is kind of a doofus. You could sell him anything. He has no discernment. He's gullible, and so he's a perfect target for Madame Folly. There's Mr. Mocker. He's the one with the big mouth. He's rejected God, and he doesn't mind telling you about it. There's Mr. Wicked. He's the one who's turned his back on God, lives totally for himself. And one of the key characteristics of the wicked in Proverbs is no conscience. There's Mr. Fool. There's the one we're going to look at today especially. Mr. Fool has a slogan. Not thy will, but mine be done. And why should my will be done? Because as far as I'm concerned, I am the center of the universe. There's no other God. I'm in charge. There is Mr. Righteous. Mr. Righteous walks in God's way with a kind of integrity, a kind of wholeness in life. Mr. Righteous cares about other people and builds community. Mr. Righteous isn't perfect, but always tries to live with an eye on God's wisdom and understanding. And there is the Son. My Son. We hear that over and over in early part of Proverbs. Now, that's a masculine word, right? And it sort of implies youthfulness. So there are two ways we could get off track. If we thought this was only about young males, we would be wrong on both accounts. The son is any person, male or female, young or old, who is seeking to find God and seeking to follow God. So as we talk about the son, I'll try to be a little more gender open, but please, here, this is God's call to you, God's call to me. Now, the book of Proverbs is pretty black and white. By that I mean it sets out just two ways to live, two paths to follow, two destinies or destinations to pursue. And so it should come as no surprise that all of these characters we meet sort of fall into two camps, two groups, two classes of people. There are the people who want to live in a relationship with the Lord. We usually call that covenant. That entails a kind of humility, kind of obedience. And then there are the kind of people who don't want a relationship with God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want to submit to anyone. Obedience is out of the question. The first group seeks God's wisdom, the skill for living the way God wants us to live. The second group cares nothing about God's wisdom. They're wise in their own eyes. They'll run life their own way, and they'll run it into the ground. Now, the key question for us this morning in these opening chapters is simply this: which one are you? To put it bluntly, are you a son or a fool? Are you a child of God or a fool? Now, there's that word. I don't use it lightly. On rare occasion, I will say to Kathy, my wife, that person is a fool, biblically speaking. You see some people just flaunting the kind of disobedience, spitting in God's face, foolishness. Now, I'm tempted. You see, through my whole ministry, I always worked with young people, one way or another. So I'm tempted, of course, to think about young people this morning. Maybe you're in middle school or high school. Maybe you're a college person, or you're making some career choices or marriage choices or anything like that. What kind of choices will you make? Will you be a child of God, or will you act foolishly? But there's a bigger challenge than that this morning, a bigger appeal for all of us. You can be an old-timer like me, and you still must be open to God's wisdom, His teaching, which often comes through people around you, other people of God. So here's a challenge for all of us. There is a way we could kind of steer into the ditch here this morning. Usually when we think of being a child of God, we think in New Testament terms. The children of God are those who've been adopted in because they have faith in Jesus. Now, that wasn't the understanding yet. In Solomon's day, Jesus hadn't come yet. So things are defined a little bit differently. Defined, whether you're a son or a fool, in terms of some stark contrasts. Proverbs is that way. It's so black and white. What happens slowly in life tends to happen fast in Proverbs. What might be a little gray or uncertain in life tends to be bold and distinct in Proverbs. So if you read this book, you can hardly miss the truth that God presents us. So let's look at three contrasts this morning to see the difference between someone who's a child of God and someone who's a fool. The first one is this. Do you take the tour or do you take the plunge? Take the tour or take the plunge? The child of God takes the tour. The fool takes the plunge. Now, to get an idea of what that's about, you'd read some of these chapters, and I find it rather compelling what the father does for his children here. He says, come with me, and I am going to show you life. I'm going to show you all about life. Come with me on a tour and find out what life is all about from a godly, wise, understanding point of view. And so, the father kind of takes this child and says, let's go. And he takes him to all kinds of places. The holy places, like the sanctuary where worship happens, like the marriage bed, but also to the unholy places, the prostitute's lair, the robber's den. See it all, the father says. And especially see the results. See where this takes you, this way or that. The father uncovers both the sacred and the sultry in these opening chapters. Look, see, listen, learn. Learn wisdom, learn understanding. Learn where this will take you. Now, the child of God takes the tour. We might say, well, that makes sense. What's so hard about that? Well, I think what's so hard about it is when we look in the mirror, we tend to see a know-it-all. All of us have that streak in us. We might not like to admit it. If we don't think of ourselves as a know-it-all, we often think of ourselves at least as, I know better than you do. And that makes it hard for us to take the tour, to say, I really need to learn. I need to have my heart open. I need to have my mind open, my eyes and my ears to see what God has to say. Because sometimes we think we already know it. Plus, I remember back when I was a teenager, I have to admit, I thought I certainly knew more than my parents. I knew they knew more about some stuff than I did. But, you know, they're kind of obsolete. They're just not cool. They're not groovy. You know, that was back in my age. They don't wear bell bottoms. They don't have hair down over their ears. You know, they just weren't quite up to my level of coolness. That's just generation to generation. It's always that way. That's what makes it hard to take the tour. Just to be humble enough. But a child of God in these opening chapters says to the Father, I want to learn. I'm not going to take the tour just to get a thrill. I'm going to take the tour to get wise. Now the fool, take the tour? No thanks. I'm going to take the plunge. The fool has no time for God. The fool has no respect for God or God's people. And the fool has no humility Like, I really need to learn some of this. Oh, no. There's life to be lived. I got to get out there and get my own slice of the pie. I have to take care of myself. There are things to do. There's a world to explore. And I have no time to listen to anyone else tell me how to live. And it leads to disaster. Now, it's time to open our Bibles. We're going to look at, in the next several minutes, maybe 7 or 8 different places. And so if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open it up. We're going to start with a long text from Proverbs chapter 7. Because I think this one, better than any other text I could find, illustrates, will you take the tour or will you take the plunge? Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 23. Notice the appeal of the Father here as it starts out in about the first 5 verses. And then starting at verse 6, we have a picture of the fool. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife and her seductive words. And now we get a picture of what it looks like to be the fool. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, there's Mr. Simpleton, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. And with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. That means I've got plenty of bread and meat and food and wine. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her. Like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. My son, don't be a fool. Get wisdom and understanding. Take a look. You want to know how to ruin your life? How to be a fool? Here's a picture of how it happens. Now, there's a second contrast that shows up over and over in these opening chapters of Proverbs. This is the contrast between fast faith and fast living. Now, the book teaches that the children of God know the benefits of fast faith. By that, I don't mean speed. I mean faith that holds fast. Faith that holds fast in the face of temptation. Faith that holds fast in the face of all kinds of difficult circumstances. And what Proverbs teaches is that there are two benefits. One positive, one negative. On the negative side, there's protection. Protection from harm, protection from danger, if you will hold fast to the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 2 and read about that kind of protective care that God offers those who live wisely. Proverbs 2, starting at verse 12, reading through 19. Proverbs 2, verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths and walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, in whose paths are crooked and whose are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left her behind the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. If you're wise, you'll be protected from those wicked men who are always out looking for trouble, and from wicked men who are wicked women who are always looking for trouble. There will be a protective care there. But there's also the positive, the provision of God's good blessing. Let's just go to the next chapter there, Proverbs 3, starting at verse 7 through 18. The blessings, listen for them. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is within her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Protection from the bad, provision of the good. Now, I told you Proverbs was black and white. I think I'd be remiss as a New Testament Christian just to leave it that black and white. Life's not that simple, not since Jesus came. Jesus came and he said, you know what? You can be a really good person. You can be my close follower, and people will hate you and beat you up and make your life miserable. I just felt like I had to say that. Not to cheer you up, but if you only take the Old Testament and its promises that good people just get good and bad people just get bad, and then when bad things happen, when you're trying to serve the Lord, it can be so discouraging. So, there is goodness in following the Lord. There is goodness for now, for protection, keeps you out of trouble, and blessings. Wonderful blessings of living in relationship with the Lord. Now, how about the fool? The fool gets into fast living. One of my friends said to me this week, he said, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I told him a little bit about it. He says, oh, you were talking about taking the plunge? This part sounds like taking the bait. I thought, yeah, there's an allure. There's an allure to evil. And what do you use if you're fishing? A lure. What's alluring about fast living? Well, in Proverbs, there are twin terrors. One is fast money. And how do you get fast money? Not by earning it. You get it by stealing it or beating someone up and taking it. Fast money, it's crooked money in Proverbs. The other twin temptation is fast sex. Not sex found within marriage. No, always crooked sex outside of marriage. The twin terrors, fast money, fast sex, fast living. Let's read about some of those lures. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, starting at verse 14. Proverbs 4, 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it, and go your way. For they, that is the wicked, cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. You can hang out with people who are never happy unless they're giving somebody a bad time, unless they're ripping someone off, hurting somebody, putting someone down. You hang around with people like that, your life's in trouble. And 5, verse 22. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. Fast living leads to dying. In the end, Proverbs is always concerned about the end. Fools end up singing a sad song. I'm going to tell you a story at the end about a sad life. One more text here. Proverbs 5, verse 11. Proverbs 5, verse 11. Notice the picture language here. At the end of your life you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. Here's the song of the fool. The fool always pays dearly in the end. Ends up with misery. That leads us to our last contrast. The contrast is between life and death. This one comes up over and over and over. You've heard it in some of the verses I've already read. In fact, in 8 out of the first 9 chapters, there's this contrast between life for the children of God and death for fools. It's always the result. It's always the result of these choices that you make. Will you follow the Father or go your own way? Now, let me be clear. There's kind of a two-sided part about living and dying. There's life right now. Will you find satisfaction right now or total discontent? Will you find peace right now or will you always be on edge? Will you find success now or frustration? Will you find faith now or irritation? Right now, this stuff matters. It matters. The godly find that life right now is so much better. Now, a fool will have a terrible time admitting to that. Fools love to pretend that they're just having a wonderful time. Sometimes I see people like that. They're boisterous, they're loud, they're noisy, they're half drunk, they're telling everybody how cool they are and all the great stuff in their life. And man, does that sound hollow. Okay? So life and death, it matters right now. But Proverbs also has this long distance view. Where will this take you? And we, of course, know that as heaven or hell. It matters for eternity. It matters forever, whether you're a child of God or a fool. Let's read from Proverbs for the last time here. See about life and death. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Just one verse. Proverbs 12, Here's words about life. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. Not just life for now, but life forever. In the way of righteousness. Wow, I'm glad Jesus was righteous for me. Proverbs 7, 24 to 27. Here's a picture of death and how to get there. Proverbs 7:24. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Madam Folly will take you there. A one-way ticket to death. Those who reject the Lord and His way end up with a fool's bargain. For a moment's pleasure, for a moment's pride, they'll cash in their whole life and eternity. I have to tell you a story about someone who called himself a fool. Every week, I have the opportunity of going into prison and spend a couple of hours there teaching. And in a class that I had for 3.5 years, there was a man whose last name was Smith. He's about my vintage. He's in his 60s. And he said, Pastor Bob, I was such a fool. And I said, tell me your story. What do you mean? He said, when I was young, my mother told me over and over, don't go running with those guys. You're going to get in trouble. Stay at home. He said, my mother told me that. And of course, I was too much of a fool to listen. He said, one night, within an hour of leaving my home, after she told me to stay home, I killed a man. He said, within an hour after that, I was in custody, and I've never been free since. 40 years. I was a fool. His story would fit right in here, wouldn't it? Now, praise God, Jesus got a hold of Smith. So his eternity won't be wasted. But his life. You know, in a way I'm talking to all of you this morning. In a way I'm talking to a few of you. A few who I don't even know. A few who are on the edge of making some big decisions. Of which way you're going to steer your life. Whether that's as a young person, and whether it's faith or no faith, or whether it's... Maybe someone here is thinking of just walking away from their family. You know what this is about, according to author Derek Kidner. He says, you know, if you want wisdom, what it takes is not brains. What it takes is not opportunity. What it takes is decision. If you want wisdom, come and get it. Now, why does Kidner write that? Because our God is a God, He's appealing to us through these words this morning. He's a welcoming God. He's an inviting God. He's saying, come and get wisdom and get understanding. Come and get life. He also says, come and get forgiveness. Come and get grace. Come and get a place in God's family. Come to Jesus. Hey, there's another way, isn't there? You can be a fool. Please don't. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for writing words long ago that somehow can still strike home with us. And sometimes, you know, we don't feel like we're on the verge of decisions, and whether we're going to live your way or not. But sometimes we do. And we need this call to call us back, to remind us. You've surrounded us with some people and we can learn from them. We can learn from their stories. We can learn from their mistakes. Lord, protect us from the foolishness of thinking we know better than you do. Give us hearts that are open to your wisdom and open to your Son and your Spirit. For Jesus' sake, we pray these things. Amen.